This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
The following podcast contains explicit language.
Previously on Empire on Blood.
Please state your full name for the record.
My name is Calvin Bowari.
No. Are you okay, ma'am?
I'm back.
When you looked at him, did you recognize him?
Yes.
And who did you see?
The white.
Therefore, this court grants the defendant's motion and hereby vacates the conviction.
All right, Cal, you did it. You did it. You are the most persistent motherfucker in history.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, so Cal called me last night to ask.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. He said he's not left his cell. In the 48 hours that he's been inside, to not risk any possible problem. Yeah. Is that he's just packing himself up, sitting in his cell, and just waiting.
Yeah.
He says, I'm staying away from everybody, I'm not talking to anybody.
I asked him how it felt to be in there, and he just said he was so anxious.
Yeah. How do you sleep, right?
Yeah.
Do you think he even has even slept?
That's me and one of Calvin Bowari's attorneys, Oscar Michelin. Early morning of Monday, May 8th, 2017. The day Calvin is supposed to be released after 22 years in prison. This past Friday, a judge in the Bronx vacated his double homicide conviction, as if it never happened. Cal is free to walk out of prison. The judge said so. But paperwork, that takes time. So the Department of Corrections took him back to prison for the weekend. And then, in Oscar's car, the phone rings. It's Cal's friend, Chi.
What's
it? Yes.
They said he's not going nowhere.
The judge may have let Cal go, but maybe his past won't.
Why?
Oh, my God.
That was the sergeant, because they thought I was on a visit. I was like, no, I'm trying to see what's the process. And so he looked on the paper, and he was like, yeah, he's here. He's not going nowhere.
Why is that?
He's not giving me the information.
So here we are in a moment between what should be and what is. We've gotten to know moments like this pretty well. This is Empire on Blood, a story of murder, betrayal, and a man who fought the law for two decades. And of a question, when is a man truly free? I'm Steve Fishman. We're sitting in Oscar's car in front of the ironically named Green Haven Correctional Facility. Haven my ass. It's got a 30-foot-high, windowless cement wall around it. We pull up shortly after 10 a.m., after a two-hour ride from the city. What's going on inside Green Haven? Who knows?
Yes, hi, my name is Oscar Michelin. I'm an attorney for Cal Bowari. The issue is that he was supposed to be released today, and I want to just double-check to make sure that everything's all set for his release. He got his conviction.
Hold on a second.
Hold on. Hello? Hold on.
Who are you speaking to?
Oscar Michelin.
And you identify yourself as an attorney?
I am Cal Bowari's attorney, yes.
Okay. I'm a little concerned in why you would think he's leaving this week.
Because he was
close.
I'm sorry?
He's not even remotely close to his date.
What is to be done? We're here. Let's go inside. Try to get this straightened out.
Oh, so just have a seat. There's three visits inside.
Do you know when a prisoner is released? Would he come this way?
This is the only way they could go.
We seat ourselves in a gloomy area, what passes for a waiting room. A few feet away, corrections officers process visitors. A handful of us are here. Cal's lawyers, a few relatives, his godbrother. Pam is not here. She and Cal are still legally married, but they've grown apart. Cal's friend Chi drove up from Westchester. She's his main support now. There are also a couple of journalists from the Associated Press. Cal will be let go. A judge ordered his release. It's unconstitutional to hold him in prison. After all, he's no longer convicted of anything. But the anxiety, it won't quit. Cal calls me from inside. I'm maybe 100 feet from him, but several tons of cement and steel separate us. It's 10:46 a.m.
Cal, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just waiting to get up out of here. You know what the holdup is?
I don't. Where are you now? Are they telling you you're getting out soon?
No, there ain't nobody even come and tell me anything yet. I'm talking to people. Everybody know that I'm supposed to get out, but nobody ain't come to tell me it's time to go.
The hours pass. 1, 2, 3. Finally, the paperwork lands on the right desk. I's dotted, T's crossed. It's not every day someone's conviction is vacated. Then Cal appears in the distance, maybe 50 feet away. I can see his knit cap through the bars of the steel gate. For one more minute, he looks like he's inside a cage. Then the gate slides open.
You see him? You saw him?
Nope.
Cal walks out in khaki pants, Timberlands, toting a single canvas bag stuffed with the essentials from 2 decades behind bars. Legal documents, I find out later.
There you go.
In the green. Oh, there you my go. God. Oh, my God. We would have missed it. Daddy would have came out and said, where's everybody? Oh, my God.
Been appraised that you can't do the photographs on ground.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And if you want to conduct an interview, it has to be off right. The property. It's real,
brother. We go. Out double swinging doors, leaving the guard tower behind us and the 30-foot high cement wall. We go down 2 sets of stairs into a parking lot that spreads over a couple of acres.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Surreal. Surreal, man. Finally made it, man.
Oh, can you believe this?
I can't believe it. Surreal.
Oh my God.
You have the keys to the car, right?
Where you park that?
Oh no, we got a bus ticket for you. We're not gonna drive you. You're gonna take a Greyhound home. I'm sorry, we couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford it, so I'm sorry about that. Yeah, but it's a good. We had a good seat right by the driver.
You can look at the. I need to be in a car right now. I don't need to be around too many people. I don't know. You know, this might get an anxiety attack.
Yeah,
for real, man. This is beautiful, man. Never seen this side without the handcuffs and the shackles on, though. That's the beautiful thing about it, you know? No handcuffs, no shackles. Finally, man.
Oh, my God.
Long time coming. Couldn't come at a better time.
Unbelievable, right?
Cal hugs his godbrother. He hugs me. He's muscular, prison muscles. It's a powerful embrace.
You did it, man.
You did it. You did it.
The prison authorities insist that we leave state property. They don't have to ask twice. We troop through the parking lot, a small horde making our way to the shoulder of the road. The Associated Press hands Cal a microphone.
Hi, congratulations.
What is it like?
How do you feel?
It's surreal. It's just like I worked so hard to get to where I'm at right now, and I finally made it. You know, the long journey that I took to get to where I'm at, and it's still a continuous fight, you know, because still dealing with the issues of the Bronx DA office not really wanting to admit to their mistakes and doing the right thing. I got to keep my mind on, keep pushing, man.
Cal's on message, hitting his talking points, staying focused. Of course he's right. The district attorney's office has threatened to appeal the decision that set him free. He knows there might be more coming.
Yeah, man. When I feel like the truth is finally revealing itself, you know?
Cal hands back the microphone. Chi pulls up the getaway car. My producer, Emil, and I jump in with Cal.
Okay, Steve, where are we going?
Well, we're going to ride with you wherever.
You
just leave us at a
Steve at the
train station.
What's Cal looking forward to? An iPhone and a bath. His first bath in 22 years.
Yeah, that's one of sleeping in the bed and probably getting in the bathtub and then going into a refrigerator when I want to get out what I want to get out.
Of such things, freedom is made. Cal's walked off prison grounds, but what does it take to feel free? Cal knows what I mean. From prison, he'd told me, I just can't wait to get in a situation where I'm around the people that truly, genuinely love me, so I can just be me, truthfully, just be free. And so Cal, he wants to see his mom.
And I'm gonna knock on the door and let her have her come downstairs. Once she opens the door, it's gonna be me. Happy Mother's Day. Got an early Mother's Day gift.
But first, Cal's got some errands to run. After the break, a free man heads out into the world with a long to-do list and finds more than he bargained for. Stay with
Go
us.
Go outside.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're back with Empire on Blood. So when does an ex-prisoner actually shake prison out of his bones? I asked Emel McDowell, Cal's prison buddy, who got his own sentence vacated. Emel served 19 years.
When the judge vacated my conviction, it was like a surreal experience. You really can't believe it. Cal is not going to believe that he's really out until he actually steps his foot on concrete and he's able to walk in a store with dollars in his pocket. That's how it was for me. Yeah, they said, you know, you're out, you're going home. And I'm just still sitting there looking at the judge and I'm just like, okay, I'm going home. I'll be home with my family for Christmas. You know, I could be home for my birthday finally after 19 years. But until I got out, and, you know, my cousin gave me like $100, but in 20s and 10s. He gave it to me, and I actually jumped out of his car, went into the store, and I was like, I'm out.
So Emel will put 20s and 10s in Cal's pocket. He's going to take Cal shopping in Brooklyn for sneakers. Once upon a time, Cal had wanted Air Jordans. 25 years ago, he'd started selling crack so he could buy them. This time, his hardworking prison comrade says he'll pick up the tab. But Cal has a few other items to attend to, people to visit, places to see. He's a man in a hurry.
Open, buzz me in, man. Buzz me in.
Emel drives Cal to Tracy Coit's apartment.
Coming to see Trey. Trey, where you at? Look at her.
Tracy was for a time one of his main allies on the outside, a leading light of the Free Cal.
The lady that helped kickstart my movement, amen. You know, me and her was going hard. She the first one who picked up the banner, the Free Cal banner, waved it around in the rallies, distributed the t-shirts, you know?
I assume Tracy might be celebrating Cal's release.
You don't want this tape, right?
Uh-huh. No. I mean, she's just hearing from Cal now?
Turn off the audio, because I gotta let... You let me miss that moment you walking out of Green Haven. You ain't call me. You let me miss that?
I didn't even know what day I was coming out.
I know what day you was coming in.
And so Cal changes the subject. Like a natural-born politician, he picks up Tracy's baby, Harmon.
Let this man hold
you. That's right.
Oh, she laughing.
That's right.
You let this man,
that's right.
You let this man hold you.
That's right. She's gorgeous, little Ray Ray.
Cal is smiling, loving on Harmony, the way it seems to me that maybe Tracy had hoped to be treated.
She loved me.
What?
She loved me. She like, she faded you. Faded you.
Know what they used to
Soon, it's time to go. This has been something of a thank you visit to one of the soldiers in the Free Cal movement, one of the women. They came for Cal, but worked for the movement, price of admission.
My girlfriend Tony, you said you always loved yourself some Calvin, but now, gotta let Calvin go. Calvin. You are not, you're a free man now. You should think of me every day, whatever.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Mwah. Mwah. Give me a kiss.
And that's another element of what it means to be free. Free to play the field, to be a player, as Tracy says.
I wanted to surprise you.
No, that's not how it goes. You lucky that I was here.
No, I ain't lucky, I'm blessed. I don't believe in luck. I'm blessed. I gotta give him a go.
You're the best.
Definitely, always. Firestorm right there.
Good, man.
So Cal visits a supporter. Okay. Let's shop for some sneakers. On a Sunday afternoon in Brooklyn, Emel and Cal head to the Atlantic Mall.
Damn, Cal, they threw a whole festival for you.
They hold a festival.
They knew you was coming downtown, Brooklyn. Look at that.
Oh, that's where everybody at. Look at that.
Look at it. Look. Ain't that
something? They spend hours going from shoe store to shoe store. Along the way, Cal and Emel run into people they know.
What y'all doing? What's that?
Ain't nothing. You know, I'm out finally for my wrongful conviction and all that
stuff.
Oh,
good. Yeah.
Y'all been hearing about it. Doing good, riding buses.
Yeah, y'all doing good.
That,
yo,
man.
I changed my whole life. They told you, right?
Man. Yeah,
I changed
man.
My whole life. So I did that. I did 33 years straight.
That's right.
Yeah, 33 years straight, you know. They made me wait. They made me wait 5 years, you know. Yeah. I just took him shopping. He just came home.
That's
my nephew just came home last week.
Okay,
I just took him shopping, bought him some clothes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some barbecuing now.
Okay.
I got to cut out. Y'all later. Stay
you,
safe. Hoping everything work out for you, all right? And y'all take care, all right? All right, later. All right.
Yeah, last time I was, when I first met him, he cut the dude that tried to stab Majesty in Attica.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I first met him, and we ended up going to Southport. He was like my next door neighbor, so it was good. I knew I was going to run into somebody in downtown Brooklyn.
Not just one somebody. Inside a shop, they bump into another guy from the old days. This one did 9 years.
It's crazy because from the time I've been home, things changed dramatically. Yeah. Dramatically. I'm talking about, I remember when I first came home, I remember I went to Green Acres Mall, how I felt when I was giving the phone, and you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, okay, like, how y'all doing stuff? I'm trying to see how everybody rocking, like, how y'all doing it? What's cool and what's not? I think I had some shoes on that was like, I thought they was fly, they was not fly.
Two ex-cons on a Sunday shopping trip recognize another two ex-cons? What the hell is going on at the mall? I'm accustomed to running into people. People I met at college or summer camp or over a cocktail at my bar. But this vast web of people linked by the shared experience of prison, that's invisible to somebody like me. Of course you read about it all the time. Black men swept off the streets, crowded into prisons. And here's the evidence, think of it. One afternoon outside Burlington Coat Factory and Chuck E. Cheese, four black men, Emel and Cal and the two others, these guys randomly meet. And together, they've done a total of 83 years in prison. Yeah, Cal was a drug dealer. And maybe the two men he ran into were criminals as well. Maybe they should have all done time. But I've made a 7-year journey with Cal. I know his case inside and out. And I know he mails too, the honor student sentenced for a murder that someone else committed. The system feels rigged against people like Cal and Emel. People like Cal, people like Emel. That's how the system viewed them, as a type. The type of person society is better off without. And let's agree, society was better off without crack-dealing Cal on the streets. In the theater of the early 90s, cool Cal had a role to play, and he played it to perfection. He wore minks and drove BMWs, rewards for seeding a neighborhood with poison. Cal, he high-stepped through falling bodies, and his admiring crew, they thought he was master of it all. They wanted to be just like Cal. Cal could have done other things with his life. He had the talent. But no one in authority looked at Cal and thought, there's potential here, if only it could be redirected. That wasn't anyone's duty, of course. Cal sometimes told me that if only his father had stuck around, his life might have looked different. Instead, for a pair of Air Jordans, which his mother couldn't afford and which a teenage Cal desperately wanted, he turned to the streets. And there was no turning back from that.
These shoes working right?
Good, bro.
Okay.
I was
because you got to let me know, man.
Them joints ain't fly.
Them things ain't right.
Nah,
I got to change.
Cal and Emel ended up visiting a dozen stores in search of just the right sneakers. Cal finally selected a pair of sand-colored Nike Huaraches. Retail price, $120.
Yeah, they're my sneakers. Took almost all day, but I got it.
Other items on Cal's to-do list? Lawyers, driver's license, housing. Visiting Irv's, of course. And catch up with people he left behind. At one point, Cal visits Jay, another ex-con who'd been his best friend. They were shot together. There's a bond. And Cal visits Pam, still legally his wife. They reminisce, laugh. They share a few hours of conversation. As for the other friends from the Bronx, friends like J-Mo or former crew members, Cal is staying away for the time being, too close to the days of murder and mayhem, days he needs to put behind him. But me, I stay in touch with the old crew.
Yo, Steve.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
And then she walked past my cell and saw me masturbating. So all these other officers is mad, you heard?
Right.
That's where I'm going through right now.
Dwight Robinson. What is Dwight going through now? Man, I hear about it. His trouble, his dramas. I send Dwight things, like Sudoku books, which he tells me will prevent Alzheimer's. And lottery tickets, which he says can earn us millions. Once he asked for a porn magazine. Sure, Dwight, why not? And as always, Dwight wants news from the outside to keep his mind free. Lately, he wants to know what outfits Cal is wearing now that he's out. Is he wearing a Rolex? Mostly, though, we talk about prison nonsense. Nonsense, that's the word Dwight uses. There always seems to be some craziness happening. Some of it of Dwight's own making. And that craziness, it's compounded by living out his days in an institution where a body can't be free.
See, I write this information down. CMCA, right? Special Investigator Duncan.
Okay.
All right, tell him that right now I feel that my life is in danger with these officers here, and I would like to see somebody as soon as possible.
Dwight says the officers are angry at him over the incident. His plan? To pick a fight with an inmate he says has sided with the guards.
Okay. Are you sure you should do that, man? You could just...
I thought about every move. It's the best move. Plus, once I beat them up, they're going to separate us. I'm only going to be locked up for like 30 days. I'm just going to beat them up.
I really don't want to hear this. I do my best not to get pulled into Dwight's nonsense. But I'm thinking... Dwight could get hurt. I can't not be involved. But mostly I think, how well do I really know Dwight?
It makes me all really nervous, man. I just really nervous.
No, relax, yo. Just relax, man. Look, Steve, you know how we grew up.
Not really.
So, you know what I mean? Yeah. Different, we're a different breed, y'all. You know that, you know what I mean?
No, what do you mean?
We're a complete different breed, man. You come from a different cloth, y'all. Listen. Everything gonna work out for the best. Don't worry, y'all. Don't worry about nothing, man. You know what I mean? Everything's gonna work out for the best. Trust me.
Trust me. For the record, Dwight doesn't beat up anyone. We spoke on a recorded line. Dwight told me the authorities tuned into our conversation and then searched the inmate in question, established control. And prison, of course, it's all about control. Control is all-encompassing. Nothing is private. Not one movement, not a single article of clothing. I send Dwight a Christmas present, some Timberland Chukkas, his dream footwear of many years. Prison officials, they return the shoes to me. The reason? It's complicated. Dwight is furious. In his way, Dwight is relentless too, and hopeful. On the phone, he tells me he's got a plan. He'll figure it out, he assures me. He will get his sneakers. Dwight's first shot at parole is in less than 4 years. I wonder if Cal's appeal will affect Dwight's chances. The judge as much as said that the DA should look hard at Dwight as a murder suspect. So far, though, the DA has made it clear, for them, the bigger picture is still Cal. And so Dwight is hopeful on that score, too. He dreams of freedom. After the break, Cal, now outside prison's control, gets to be himself, truly, deeply, finally. Stay with us. We're back with Empire on Blood. Back to the day Cal was released, when we rode with him in the getaway car. At last, Greenhaven Correctional was just a dot in the rearview mirror. He had a lot on his mind that day. One thing above all.
I want a videotape when I go see my mother, too.
Oh, yeah? When are you going to see her?
Yes.
You want me to see if I can get a videographer to come along?
That was possible.
Oh, yeah, that would be a nice gift. Huh? Yeah.
I think she'd be all for it.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's take Taconic State Parkway South.
Since I first spoke with Cal back in 2011, lots has happened in my life. I've gotten divorced and remarried, opened a bar. One of my kids became a teenager. Much of Cal's life, his interior life especially, has been on hold. In prison, that's the way it is. And I've only known Cal while he's been in prison. What is Cal like when he's truly free? Maybe I'll find out. His mother lives in Maryland now. She is driving Cal there. He's had trouble getting a driver's license.
Make a left here, right? Okay. We're in 44, gotta keep going up.
Oh, you said 44. No, 43.
Cal is in a car, trying to spot the house, which he's never seen. He's wearing a special outfit for the day, raspberry-colored sweater, gold chain, sunglasses, and the ever-present cap, a tan one. And for today's event, cool Cal has fastened a red bow to the front of that cap. And he's carrying presents, too. He grips the string of a floating balloon, the words on it, "I love you." In his other hand, he's got a dozen red roses wrapped in gold foil. I've never seen Cal so full of anticipation and mischief. He wants to surprise his mother. He's actually tried to keep the news of his release from her. Didn't call her. Told friends not to tell her.
What's up?
Cal's mom lives in an attractive, well-tended suburb. Single-family homes, clipped front lawns. Hers is a white stucco house. Cal heads to the front door, Chi's iPhone in his hand. He calls his mother. He pretends he's not at her front door, even as he bangs on the door.
You know I wanted to see you. What's up, Ma? What's up, Ma? Yeah? Yeah? Who outside? I'm outside. I'm outside in New York. I'm in New York City. Yeah. Goddamn dog, we gotta get that dog about it. Come on over here. She know I'm outside, but they gotta kill me. I couldn't.
When Cal's sneak attack fails, he heads around to the back of the house, goes through the gate of a chain-link fence. There's a sign on it, "Beware of Dog." He walks into the house through an open back door. His brother heads upstairs to bring down their mom, who is still recuperating from surgery. And then there she is, the object of all the fuss, a small, older woman with plain glasses in a flowery house dress. Cal stands awkwardly in a kind of pass-through between the kitchen and living room. That bouquet in his hand, that crazy bow on his forehead. Cal's brother is in the background, the videographer nearby. The spectators don't matter to Cal. It's like he's in a private space with his mom. He kisses her, grips her tight.
Happy Mother's Day, Mommy!
Happy
Mother's Day, Mommy!
I love you too.
I'm here.
Oh, why didn't
you
call me?
Your son is here. Your son is here, Mommy. Huh? Your son is here, Mommy. Huh? I'm here, Mom. I'm here, Mom. Mom, I'm here. You hear me? I'm here, Mom. Your son is here. I'm here, Mom. Your son is here. You're omnipresent. You see the ribbon?
Yeah.
Omnipresent.
Yeah.
I'm your present, Ma. Yeah. I'm your present. Huh? Everything gonna be all right, Ma. You gotta be strong. You gotta be strong, Ma. You gotta believe. You gotta believe. Yeah. I'm here. You know your son is always gonna be strong. I'm gonna be all right. I'm gonna keep fighting, Mom.
Yeah.
You didn't raise nobody that's gonna give up. You know that. Yeah. We don't give up. We don't give up, ever. I'm here. I'm an actual testament to that. What you raised, Mom. Yeah. Nobody fail you, no matter how much they give up on us. We always gonna come out on top. Always. You know that, Mom. Always. Always gonna come out on top. Because we got genuine hearts. It's always in our heart, Ma. You know that. You know that I love you. It's going to get greater, Ma.
Cal always told me that his mom is a silent warrior, never complaining, honest, upright, religious, never disappointed in him despite everything he's done. She prayed for his release.
Everybody sell me off, leave me for dead. I'm here, your son is here. I'm in the flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a baby. Yeah. I'm here. We all we got. Yeah. That's how you taught us. That's how you taught us, Mom. That's how you taught us, Mom. Huh? That's how you taught us, Mom. We're gonna outlive all of them, Mom. All of them. All of them that ever doubted us. All of them. Know that.
Yeah.
I'm here. Don't ever think that I ain't miss your calls. I had to do whatever I can to get to my mommy. Do whatever I can to get to my mommy. I love you, Mom.
I love you too.
I love you more.
Before my father, the Irv in my bar, Irv's, before he passed away, I asked him a question, a nosy, pointed question. He'd been ailing for a while. His balance, his strength were failing him. He had bruises on his face from falling off a curb. My father died at age 86, the same age at which Myron Beldock passed away. By then, my dad was chair-bound. Death can be a kind of freedom, but my father resisted. "It sucks getting old," he told me. He hung on. My father wanted to live forever. One day, I asked him, why? Why was he so attached to living? He had an answer ready. I want to see how the story ends. This is the end of Empire on Blood, the end of the story I'd assigned myself 7 years ago, way before I knew how long it would take. But as my father certainly knew, the story doesn't end. Life goes on. I'm thinking of Cal's life and the turn it took. This story never seemed to go where I expected. Cal had decades in prison to anticipate freedom, to choreograph reunions and dream of future successes. Someday Cal may be worth millions. He sued the city of New York and will sue the state. He wants compensation for having lost more than 2 decades of his life. But he's not waiting around for a settlement that could take years if it comes at all. Remember in prison, he'd written 7 business plans? Success, legitimate success, was always going to be Cal's revenge. Sitting on a beach, writing checks. Cal said that was his 5-year plan. A couple months after his release, Cal got his driver's license and started one venture, Riders Van Service, Riders with a Z. Somehow he'd managed to get hold of a 15-seat Chevy van. He transports families and friends of inmates to prisons upstate. Some days, Cal gets up at 4 in the morning to pick up customers. Imagine this. Cal walks into the waiting room of Greenhaven Correctional Facility to drop off his business cards. This actually happens. Cal says the corrections officers remember him and smile. Cal assures me business is picking up. That's what Cal would say. He spent decades thinking positive thoughts in the face of ongoing disappointment. And disappointments, well, it seems they never cease. On November 29, 2017, an assistant Bronx DA told a judge that the office will appeal the decision to vacate Cal's sentence. The office seems intent on bringing him back to trial and back to prison. The Cal I know is relentlessly, fiercely positive. But the day of the DA's announcement, I received a text from him. He was, he wrote, a little drained from the living. At times, I fear the fight has deformed Cal. More than anything, he wanted to be with people who truly, genuinely love him. Now, he has trouble being with those people. Chi is in love with Cal, and Cal, he tells me he loves her too. He calls her his partner. Still, Chi tells me that 1 minute they are so close, close as one finger wrapped around another. The next, Cal flees. He needs his space. The intensity of intimate relationships can overwhelm him. The living can overwhelm him. As I record this, Cal is homeless. I never expected that. Landlords aren't receptive. Cal has no credit history. And on the internet, he is still accused of a double homicide. And so Cal tells me he lives in his van, sleeping on one of the long seats in the rear, using the bathroom at the local McDonald's. He washes up there, too, brings his own toiletries and towel. To me, Cal sounds desperate. I'm silent. I don't know how to respond. And then Cal, being Cal, recovers. He assures me, this too shall pass. Thank you. On March 21st, 2018, just as we were finishing production on this podcast, we got some news. At a hearing, one that had been scheduled months in advance, the Bronx District Attorney shocked Cal's defense team. The DA moved to dismiss the two-decade-old indictment against Cal. A state Supreme Court judge granted the motion. And with that, the legal cloud over Cal lifted. He is officially free. Empire on Blood is produced by Emil Klein and Mia Lobel with Joelle Dusek. Our editor is Julia Barton. Original scoring by Joel St. Julian, theme song by Mr. Len. Fact-checking by Stephanie Daniel. Special thanks to Jason Gambrell, Evan Viola, Christopher Landry, Rachel Strom, Nicole Buntis, Christy Mirabal, Kate Miscal, Lisa Firestein, Jacob Smith, Carly Migliori, and Andy Bowers at Panoply. I'm Steve Fishman. A kingdom built of blood leaves the king lonely. Bear the burdens of your sins and them only. Beware the blurred line between friend and foe. The last words you hear. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go.